May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I was telling Joe before the service, it's nice to be pain-free, and this is the first Sunday in a month that I've actually been able to stand before you and not be dealing with a lot of back pain. You don't appreciate it until you're out of that moment. Today's lesson, of course, is the lesson of the parable of the unforgiving servant. It is a lesson about forgiving that all Christians should learn. Last week, the lesson was about a son who was healed in the seventh hour, so we know that specific numbers have meaning. This week in verse 22, we read, I do not say to you, Peter, up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And Peter's a mathematician, and he knows that's 490, right? 491, is that right? Anyhow, you know my math. what Jesus is actually telling him is not that you should do it technically 490 times. Jesus is saying you should forgive unlimitless, you know, multiple times. There is no limit on forgiveness. And if we study the parable of forgiveness, we learn that the first servant owed a king's ransom. Biblical scholars attribute the talent to around 6,000 denarii. And a talent is derived from the Latin word talentum. It's also known as a Greek or Athenian talent, which is equal to 26 kilograms of pure silver or gold. In this story, we have two main characters who are the king and the first servant. And if you remember Christ and all his many parables, parable is a way of telling a story that you don't want your enemies to know. And the enemies were the Pharisees, but you want your believers to know. And yet Christ often had to take his disciples aside and they would ask him, well, what did you really mean here? And actually the message today is not about the fact that there's a king or that there's a first servant who, was yet forgiven of all his debt, and yet he was unwilling to forgive one of his underlings, another servant, of his debt. Christ taught in these mysterious ways, and on the surface, we may think it's about talents, which talent has a double meaning. You know, Merriam-Webster describes a talent as a measure or amount in currency. And that's what I just described to you here as an attic talent, which is equivalent to 6,000 denarii. In an earlier lesson, we learned that one day's wages is equivalent to one denarius. So if 6,000 denarius, that's 6,000 days. I can't even calculate that, but maybe Peter can. And if we do the math, 6,000 times 10,000, we'll see that the first servant, you know, he owed 10,000. 6,000, 10,000, that's 60 million denarii. It's probably $1 billion that he owed this king. So, you know, it really makes no difference what the amount is. What's significant is to know that it was an incredible amount that cannot be measured. And what Jesus is wanting us to do is, number one, to learn that forgiveness is not measured on an amount. That forgiveness is unlimited. That no matter how many times that person treats us wrongly, no matter how many times we are crossed, no matter how many times we are cursed, no matter how many times we are abused, we still must have that servant's heart of forgiveness. Now, talent, again, is a double-edged sword. And the parable here, we're given this parable of a talent being, again, a measurement of value. But talent also is gifts. And it's the gifts of God that we have. And so that's when we're starting to peel the layers of the onion back. That's when we're beginning to understand what this message is really about. It's the message of talents and the God-given gifts that God gives us. And there's a number of talents that we all have. In the top 10, playing music is a talent. Giving a sermon, I suppose, is a talent. Playing sports is a talent. Being a good housekeeper, a good cleaner. The list goes on. You know, how many, being a good physician is a talent. Being a good mathematician, being a good school teacher. All of these are God-given talents. And God gives us these wonderful talents. And in some ways, there's another parable about 1, 2, and 5. Y'all remember that parable? 1, 2, and 5, that, you know, the king had, or the Lord had given his servant one talent to do with what he will, the other one 2 talents, and the other one 5. And he went on this long journey, and when he returned, the one had doubled it to 10. The one at 2 had doubled it to 4, and the one that had the 1 buried his out of fear, and no usury, no, that's the wrong word, no interest was gained on that 1. And where the 5 and 2, the master was greatly appreciative and said, you know, well done, my faithful servant, enter into my kingdom. And then when he got down to the guy with 1, who said, you know, I was so afraid of you, I was fearful that if I lost this talent, that you would come back at me in a fearsome way. And if you came back in a fearsome way, I didn't want to face that anger, that wrath that you would have for me. And actually, there was anger and wrath, but it was not for the reason that this one servant with the 1 talent had. The reason for the anger was that he abused and did not use the talent that he was given him. You know, all of us have these God-given talents. And whether it's a natural in sports, for instance, or whether it's developed. You know, oftentimes there are developed talents. And I think of music. You know, you didn't the first day just sit down at the bench and just start playing. It took years to develop that talent. So talents are both God-given and natural, but sometimes there's hidden talents that are developed. And I believe that's what part of the story is all about. You know, how do we use our talents? Do we maximize our talents over a lifetime of development? Or do we bury them away where they never gain any interest and they never serve us well? You know, I'm sure we all want to reach that end of the day when God will tell us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into my kingdom, for you have done well with yourself. Oddly enough, what happened to the guy with the 1 talent? He was cast away just like the servant here, just like the first servant. What happened to him? Well, the king was so angered that he went after this lesser servant who only held him for 100 denarii versus 60 million. You know, the Lord, the king here in this story, forgave him of all his sin. Now think about it. God has forgiven us of all our sins. Our sins are uncounted. We have no idea. We can't measure 70 times 7. We do not know how many sins we have committed. But we have committed a number of sins. And yet, in all of that, God has forgiven us of all our sins. And he did that not by us paying the price, but the price being paid by his gift again to us. His gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is a propitiation of our sins, who came to us and paid for our sins. And that's God's greatest gift to us. That is God's greatest talent to us. For another name for talent is a gift. Now, we should be mindful of our gifts and our talents and use them for this is the purpose. This is the we're getting to the where the rubber hits the road. Why does it matter to the king? Why does it matter to God? It matters because in our gifts and talents, they're not to be misused. They're not meant to be buried away. They're meant to be developed, just like you have with your musical talent. But they're done in such a way as you glorify God. That's the key. you know, you've heard it said, a man of many talents. I suppose a woman of many talents. So the point being that do not misuse the talents that God gives you. And if you discover those hidden talents, develop them in such a way that you glorify God. And that's the message of today. You know, not that this first servant was so wronged by not giving or giving mercy or forgiving his other. The fact that yet he was given mercy. He was forgiven. And his life, his children's lives, his family, his household was all saved. Yet he himself was unwilling to give further the mercy and the forgiveness down the water downstream. And yet this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to continue and be examples as he's been examples to us. God is an example to us how we should live our lives. Now I have a cousin, and you've all heard it said, oh, I can forgive, but I can't forget. My question to you is, if you don't forget about it, have you truly forgiven? You know, because when God forgives us, does he not say that it is so far removed from me, it's equivalent to the distance between the east and the west? That's infinity. It's gone so far away. And then when Christ paid the price for our sins, you know, do we diminish Christ dying for us by remembering those sins? No. No. I think we degrade Christ by remembering what that person did to me, or that person did in the eighth grade, or that person did to me, or my parent did to me, or my friend did to me. How can I ever forgive him? And we go back to the top of the lesson here. Jesus Christ says, 70 times 7. Forgive, forgive, forgive. And I will close by saying this. If we don't forgive, we're actually not forgiving ourselves. And by not forgiving and forgetting, we actually put a burden, a yoke on our neck that will carry the rest of our lives. And every day that we do not forgive, that yoke will become heavier and heavier and heavier. And I'll promise you this, because I see it in confession, I've seen it in my own life. When you forgive, you actually loose that sin and it no longer burdens you. You have a sense and a freedom that makes you want to soar in your life. And that's the lesson for today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.